from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Competition terms, pole position, but I also would say McCormick's had an awesome summer. He had great tape in the preseason, so I won't rule out Mason McCormick either, because I think Mason McCormick's looking really good and far ahead of where they thought he was.
Jalen Warren, you tweeted a clip of him as well. The hamstring injury had some people worried, but it seems like he will be good to go by week one.
Yeah, he's going to be fine. He's running well. He's digging into the ground. He's full out sprinting. I don't think there's any issues with Jalen Warren. I think he's going to be, you know, getting his full workload. Like, I don't think they're going to, you know, use Najee more or Cordero Patterson more just because of Jalen Warren and his hamstring. I think he might even get some work on kickoffs. That's what he said today. He was working on kickoffs, him and Cordero Patterson. So that's kind of where you expect him. You wouldn't be putting a guy back on the kickoff team right now if you expected his hamstring, you know, to be re-injured. So I think he is 100% fine. I think he's going to be ready to go.
What do you think the in terms of carries on Sunday, what do you think that breakdown will be between Harris and Warren or Patterson if you want to work him in?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think you look at Najee and he'll probably get the bulk of the load. I just think that's always where it's been. I've always said it's going to be, you know, 55-45, probably towards Najee a little bit. So, you know, if they have runs, you know, you could probably expect, you know, 17 for Najee and 13 for Jalen, something like that. That makes sense to me. I'm not sure you're going to see a ton of Cordero Patterson. I mean, you might, you know, you might see him sprinkled in there, you know, on some end arounds, some other tricky plays where they try to maybe, you know, get a little more innovative because he can be a wide receiver or a running back. They've split him out wide in training camp. So wouldn't surprise me there, but I do expect this to swing more towards Najee than Jalen. But again, I think we're going to be seeing it pretty similar. And I think you're going to see Jalen Warren have all the third down opportunities as he usually does.
Is Roman Wilson looking like somebody who will be capable of suiting up in Atlanta?
Capable of suiting up? Sure. Capable of contributing at a high level? I don't think so. I still think he's feeling the ankle injury. You remember, Donnie, that this was reported as an ankle sprain?
Yes.
Back when it was injured. I wonder if it was a high ankle sprain. Now, you know, that's what it kind of looked like to me when it happened. And I've heard some whispers about that. And so it's taking him some time to get recuperated and back into this. You know, you kind of see it. He's a little still tentative to kind of explode off it. You know, he's jogging and he's changing directions. I haven't really seen him go out yet, run a route and explode, go full speed. I think until I see that, I can't be comfortable in him, you know, doing a ton. I think he'll suit up and try and play. I'm not sure how effective he's going to be, though, because his game is so predicated on that burst and speed. And so until I think that I see that, I think I have to be down on him a little bit. And that might not come back for a little bit. So we'll kind of see where it's at. He looks way better than he did last week, though. So you're seeing the signs kind of creep up here. I mean, you have 6 days still to see where he goes. So we'll see how he progresses over the week. But right now, haven't seen that explosiveness yet. I want to see that before, you know, jumping on the train saying this guy can be a big-time contributor for the Steelers on Sunday.
Yeah, how much do you think he can add to that receiver room that desperately needs help once he is fully healthy?
I think he can add a lot. I think he can be their third down chain mover. I think he brings an element of speed and toughness that maybe they don't have outside of him. You know, he's a guy that just plugs into the same role he had in Michigan, Donnie. You just run him across horizontally on overs, crossers, different things like that. You get him free on, you know, out of stacks, off the line. He's going to be in that slot all the time. He can make tough catches. He's a tough dude. And he's got really good hands. He struggles against press coverage and physicality, but you're not going to see guys get physical with him in the slot. And so if you can get him free releases and just let him run across the middle of the field, he can catch he can catch drag routes for 5 yards and turn it into 70-yard touchdowns. Like, that's how fast he can be. And his acceleration off the line of scrimmage is instantaneous. He gets a lot of separation just off that alone, even at the NFL level. And so I think he can be a pretty big contributor for them. Is he, you know, a wide receiver too? I think he can be a solid wide receiver three, at least this year. And so, yeah, I think he will help them out. He gives them something they don't really have, and his role is so easily clearly defined that I think, you know, when he gets back fully healthy, ready to go, I think he's going to have a pretty big role in this team.
You don't have to give anything away here, Nick, but do you think that Arthur Smith has anything special up his sleeve for his old friends in Atlanta? A revenge game for Arthur Smith.
I don't know if he has anything up his sleeve. I know he's motivated. I this is one of those ones that I think if you're Arthur Smith, you circle on the calendar. I'm almost certain about that. So wouldn't surprise me if he has something up his sleeve. And I'm not sure what it would be that he would have up his sleeve. But I think, you know, I'll say this. I do think the stuff you saw in the preseason, there's a lot more where that came from. I don't think you saw all the playbook. You saw maybe 40% of the playbook. So I think there's a lot that still is to be revealed from Arthur Smith in his playbook that you did not see in the preseason. So I do think, you know, he has a few things that he has a few things in that playbook that he didn't have last year. I will say that. There are some new wrinkles in there. So I'm interested to see if he pulls a few of them out. Wouldn't shock me if he does.
Talking to Nick Faribault, Steelers reporter from PennLive.com. Do you think any of those wrinkles include Justin Fields?
I'm kind of on the fence about this one. And because Mike Tomlin laid it on so thick last week where he told Raheem Morris to watch out for it, it's almost reverse logic of they're not going to have one. But then you think simply Justin Fields is so dynamic with the ball in his hands. And I think there will be part of that. I think you have to. I mean, just look at the guy. He's built like a linebacker, but runs a 4-4. He's got great contact bounce. He can turn a 5-yard run into a 70-yard touchdown. You put him on the goal line. I mean, that is a cheat code on the goal line if you have Najee Harris or Jaylen Warren. And then, obviously, Justin Fields taking the read option part of that. I think he has to have a package for him. Because obviously he's a very capable quarterback too, so he's a threat to throw the ball if he's in. You know, he would be a Taysom Hill package, but he could throw far better than Taysom Hill could. And so you can really do a lot of dynamic things in a Justin Fields package. So yeah, I do think this is going to be something that we're going to see. But I think particularly where we're going to see it, Donnie, is in the red zone. I think that's where you can just turn it into high efficiency. You can pound the ball into the end zone. That's where I think this really, really comes up is the red zone. That's where I think they're going to really use this.
Nick, who is a Steeler player in any aspect of the game that you are anticipating a surprisingly big game from on Sunday? Maybe somebody a little bit under the radar.
Somebody under the radar that could have a big game. So, tough question because I'm not sure that you're going to see anyone in a super unexpected role. But what I'll say this. I do think when you look at the matchups based on this, I think you could see, and I don't really think he's under the radar, but I do think he's going to be tested a lot and you're looking out for him. I think Beanie Bishop is set up to actually have a really nice game in this one. He matches up really well against what they can do in the slot. I think he's going to play mostly in the rundowns, so you're not going to see him, you know, on third and 20 or whatever. But he's a guy that they haven't really explored it yet, but his background from college isn't just as a slot corner. It's as a safety, too. So you can do a lot of different rotation stuff when you get into dime and nickel packages with him. And so I think he's set up for a pretty interesting game. He's a fearless player. He's so quick downhill. I think he sets up really, really well, actually, against them to do some work. So I'm going to say Beanie Bishop. That's my call. Now wearing 31, which feels so apt because another undrafted DB, obviously Donnie Shell, wore that.
The Steelers about a field goal underdog going into this game on Sunday. So by NFL logic, if these teams played on a neutral site, it would be basically a pick 'em. It would be a coin flip. How do you feel, at least, you know, I know we're 6 days away, but Monday looking into Sunday, how do you feel about these Steelers' chances?
Yeah, man, I think this is a much improved Atlanta team. You just look across the roster. It's a better team. They've always had a really good O-line. I think that's one thing that's gone under the radar. Now they have weapons, too. You know, London has another year. Pitts has another year. Bijan has another year. Kirk Cousins is now the quarterback. And even if he's coming off the Achilles, maybe he's a little rusty. We'll see. That he played extremely well before the injury last year. The defense is going to be much improved. Matt Judon, Justin Simmons, they got a lot of nice players in there. But I do think there's going to be two matchups to really watch. The offensive line for the Steelers, if they can get push up against that defensive line, because I don't think this pass rush for the Falcons is that overwhelming. It's still Grady Jarrett, really, and Matt Judon. It's not – like, it's two guys. If you can handle those two guys – I think you can move the ball a little bit down the field. I think, you know, George Pickens against A.J. Terrell is a solid matchup to watch, but I also think, you know, you can get Pat Freiermuth open against this defense. I think Pat Freiermuth can work a little bit, and I think if you can get that run game going, you can do some things. And I think the Steelers defense can go tit for tat with those weapons. I don't think they're outgunned by any means, so I think this one's going to be a close game. You know, right now, I mean, I think I feel, you know, 6 days out, I think I feel decently well about the Steelers kind of going into this one and winning it. I think that some of the matchups aren't bad for them. It's going to be a test on defense and a test for the O-line with some of this defensive line talent. But there's going to be gaps for them to exploit. There's going to be matchups for them to exploit. And so, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be like a 24-21 type of game, slug it out. I think, again, the Kirk Cousins might have some rust. There's a lot of new on that offense. Steelers are going to be motivated. There's a lot working here. It's going to be a close one, I think. I don't think you're going to see either team get run out of the building. So 24-21 right now, I'm going to say Steelers. That's kind of where I'm feeling.
We made our season predictions earlier in the show, and I said I do not have the Steelers making the playoffs in 2024. And I have kind of some odd logic, Nick, and you can let me know if this makes any sort of sense and if it's fair or foul. I think the Steelers, I think there's a pretty real chance they are a better overall team than what we saw last season. I just cannot possibly predict or anticipate them getting the injury luck specifically to opposing quarterbacks and other quarterbacks around the AFC that they got last season. Does that make any sense?
No, it makes sense. I think they are a better team. They've upgraded a lot of spots. They're better quarterback. They're better at OC. They're better corner. They're better at linebacker. I mean, they're better at a lot of spots. Safety. I mean, you look at across, they're even better at punter. I mean, if you really want to go there. So they're better at a lot of spots. But one, I think, the construction of the scheduling is brutal. I don't care what anyone says. That back half of the schedule is going to be an absolute gauntlet for them. If they hit, you know, a rough patch with some injuries and you know, guys have to miss games, they could lose a significant amount in a row there. And I think they're a more talented team than they were last year. This season to me feels like a transitional year, Donnie. That's what it feels like. It feels like a year where they took some upside swings. at quarterback to see if something hits. They have a foundation of young talent that they're building, specifically on the offensive line. They have a lot of contracts coming up. It feels like a transitional year to see what the future is, who's going to be pieces there. In other words, what I'm trying to say is this screams 9-8. That's what it screams to me. And, I mean, that 9-8 could be in the playoffs or could be right on the outside. But they're probably going to be picking, like, 17th. I think that's where I'm at. So, I don't think your logic is wrong at all. But, you know, this team – this is the most 9-8 team I've ever seen right now. That's really what it screams to me. I think they'll be in it until the very end, but you know, I think this team is gonna hover around that 9-8 point probably for most of the year.
Nick Farabaugh, Steelers scribe from PennLive.com. Check out his stuff. Nick, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on as always, Donnie. Appreciate it.
There we go. One of the best young Steelers writers out there, Nick Farabaugh. From PennLive.com. Coming up, Sean and I will run through some of our award winners around the NFL. Our predictions continue coming up in just a few minutes. Bucko Minute with Noah Hiles at 5:30. Then, as always, the hodgepodge of nothingness to finish things out. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's Donnie Football in for the guys on 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan, Donnie Football with you on this Labor Day. Sean Myers with me behind the glass. Pirates in Chicago tonight to take on the Cubs. Dan Zangrilli will have the North Shore Tavern leadoff show next hour. We'll have a Bucko Minute with Noah Hiles coming up in just over 10 minutes. But right now, more predictions, Sean. Our MVP, Offensive and Defensive Player of the Year, our Rookies of the Year, our Coach of the Year, our Comeback Player of the Year. Where do you want to start? I'll let you choose.
Let's start at the top, MVP.
My MVP pick, because I think this team will have a huge season. I put money on it right after the Super Bowl this past year. I bet on C.J. Stroud to an MVP. I don't see that sophomore slump coming. He is my MVP pick.
I'm also going a quarterback in the AFC, but I'm going Josh Allen. He's lost a lot around him, and I think it's going to be even more on him. But if they have success offensively, he'll get almost all the credit. So I think he will have a big year, certainly with his arms and especially his legs. He's my MVP pick.
And he finally gets over the hump of the MVP.
I think so. And sometimes, you know, like if Mahomes has a great year, he might not win it because people have already, you know, he's gotten right. All the accolades. So sometimes you try to find someone a little different.
Offensive player of the year. I think the Steelers will actually see this guy on Sunday. Bijan Robinson is my offensive player of the year. I think he may lead the NFL in rushing. I think he could become one of the most dynamic running backs in the game.
My first thought was Dak Prescott, but I realized looking back, quarterbacks almost never win this award anymore. It's usually a receiver or a running back. So I'll go the next closest thing. I'll go with compact disc Lamb, his teammate, CeeDee Lamb, offensive player of the year. I think he will have a monster year once again, especially with that new monster contract.
Defensive player of the year. Sean, I'll let you go first on this one.
Same team. Penn State alum, Micah Parsons.
Oh, that would be his first, correct? He won rookie of the year.
Yes.
Unanimously. They didn't even have, like, other finalists. That's how easily he won it. So, a first time. Man, he's a guy who needs paid, too.
Yeah, there's not enough money to go around in Dallas, I can tell you that much.
Jerry Jones, he sat on this forever. He could have taken care of, like, one guy per year. He sat on this forever. And CD, he picked him. I don't know if they get something done with the other ones.
I think they will with Parsons, but, could you really let Dak go? I guess if they don't make a postseason run, he could be the scapegoat. Then the Steelers swoop in and give him $65 million, and he's starting in Pittsburgh next year.
They'll miss the playoffs. They will fire McCarthy. Then Deion Sanders will say that he will only coach for the Cowboys, and Shadur will only play for the Cowboys. There's your next coach-quarterback combo in Dallas. My defensive player of the year is Aiden Hutchinson of the Detroit Lions. He's somebody who I doubted going into his career. I thought, okay, he's being really overhyped because he's had some really good games against Ohio State, which was always Michigan's biggest game, and he helped them win a couple of those games. But he has really proven at the NFL level that dude is a legit player. So that is my defensive player of the year. Sean, I'll let you bat lead off on this one too, offensive rookie of the year.
So I think that some of these quarterbacks will have good years, but I don't know if we're going to get another C.J. Stroud. So I start thinking receiver. Who's the receiver that's probably the best player on his entire offense? And that's Malik Nabers with the Giants. Harrison's really good, but I think we could see a season from Kyler Murray where he does a lot, and so Harrison doesn't get all the credit. I think Nabers, if he does anything positive, people will take that as a big accomplishment on just a lousy offense. So they're going to throw him the ball a lot. They don't have anyone else. So I think Malik Nabers is your offensive rookie of the year.
I think that's a good pick because that is true. He's really the only interesting thing of that whole offense. The receivers are not a strong group. The quarterback is obviously big into question. Running back, they don't have a star anymore. They let Barkley walk. Yeah, I think that's a good selection there, Malik Nabers. Mine's kind of boring. Caleb Williams is my pick. I do think he will show as a rookie that he's pretty legit. Now, does he keep carrying that as the career goes on? I don't know. But I've said earlier, the Bears are a playoff team to me. They weren't that bad last season. They just had the first overall pick thanks to the Carolina Panthers being terrible. I think Williams wins that award, gets them into the postseason. Defensive rookie of the year, I'm going to go with Jared Verse in L.A., the Rams linebacker. I don't think he – I mean, obviously, he doesn't play the same position as this guy, but the Rams defense losing Aaron Donald, they lost a guy that can really be a force. I think Verse can be somebody off the edge that they haven't had in a while, so I'll take him as my defensive rookie.
I think it's a really underwhelming rookie class defensively at this point. The draft kind of indicated that.
Because you had to wait until like the 15th pick for one to go.
I don't even know if I'm butchering this name. Is it Latu? He's the pick. I think he was the first defensive guy taken. He can get after it a little bit. I don't even know if he's going to have a great year, but I think he might have the best of all the defensive rookies.
All right, Sean, coach of the year.
This is always tough because it's, you know, doesn't have anything to do with the team being good necessarily, just has to do with improvement. And so for that reason, I'm going with a team that gets into the playoffs that missed it last year and a first year head coach that the Steelers will see week one, Raheem Morris.
We got the same guy. We both picked Raheem Morris. Like you said, new coach to the city. I think this team will win its division, not only make the playoffs. I think Atlanta wins the NFC South. Now, the division is very bad, but I think they kind of take care of it. So Morris is my pick there.
Yeah, I mean, 10 wins is probably enough for him to win that, I would say.
Yeah.
10 wins, they win their division. That might get the job done.
For sure. I mean, because I think the two of the teams will win like less than 6 games, and I think the other one will win right around 8 games. Comeback player of the year. A couple of different quarterback options here. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow. Burrow missing the last half of the season, and I think he is just very, very good. Like, he will probably get MVP votes, but I think they give him almost as I can't think of the word I'm even looking for here, but almost as just a courtesy prize, they give him the Comeback Player of the Year award for not winning the MVP, but still having a great
consolation
season. There we go. That's what I was looking for. Consolation prize for Joe Burrow, Comeback Player of the Year.
I hate this award. It doesn't – no one knows what it's actually based on.
Plus, last year I was in legitimate disbelief. Did I think the Joe Flacco story was great? Yeah. But I did not think there was a prayer – that anybody besides DeMar Hamlin would win that award. Not a prayer. I thought the moment he strapped up and took the field, he had that award on lockdown.
Yeah.
And he didn't win.
You have to kind of not just, you know, you have to almost decipher what storyline will be a good one for them to follow and vote for. I'm looking at the odds. The confusing thing is it's all guys coming back from injuries. And then kind of in the middle of it, Sam Darnold, who wasn't injured. but just
that's the other thing I don't like about it. I don't like when it's a guy who just like hasn't played.
Yeah, I mean, he was healthy. He saw some mop-up duty. So, like, when you include guys that really didn't do that much but were healthy last year, it changes the conversation. Anyway, I'm going Aaron Rodgers. It's an easy, safe pick.
I think that's a good one, too. I mean, plus the New York market, that's going to make that a pretty popular one. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. A Bucko Minute with Noah Hiles is on the way next. It's Donnie Football on 93.7 The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. That music means it is time for a Bucko Minute. We welcome in Pirates reporter Noah Hiles from the Post-Gazette. He is on the field. He is in Wrigley as the Buccos and Cubs meet for a Labor Day night clash. Coverage of that game starting next hour right here on The Fan. Jameson Taillon against Jared Jones, the pitching matchup tonight in Chicago. Noah, where does Wrigley rank? I mean, that is one that people always put pretty high on their ballpark list. Where does that one rank for you?
For me. Oh, can you hear me now?
Yep, I got you.
Oh, yeah, it's number one for me, Donnie. I my first time here was my senior year of high school, right after I graduated. It was a graduation gift from my dad. We came here to watch the Pirates play in July of 2013, right when they were, you know, making that push to make their first playoff appearance in two decades. And one of the best days of my life. And yeah, it's a special place to watch a ball game.
One of the best days of your life. What?
Yeah,
who pitched that day? How did it go down?
Francisco Liriano threw a complete game.
Man,
and the Pirates
those were the
won,
days.
I believe the Pirates won 6-1.
Now, how many? Now, obviously, you've been to a good bit covering the team, but have you gone to, like, the historic ones? Like, you've been to Fenway, right? You've been to
most of them. I've toured Fenway. I've not been there for a game. Just obviously talked to you a couple weeks ago when I was at Dodger Stadium. I've been to 22 of the 30. And, yeah, so I feel like I've seen a wide array of them, and this still ranks at the top.
Jared Jones gets the ball tonight for the Buccos, the 22-year-old this year, a 3.88 ERA. His last outing was against the Cubs about a week ago. Only four innings, five earned runs. He gave up two home runs. He got beat up a little bit, four strikeouts and three walks. Do you expect Jones to bounce back from that? How do you think he'll be handled the rest of the way as well?
Yeah, I expect him to be a little bit better. I didn't hate how he looked in those first three innings that he pitched in his last outing. It was just that fourth inning gave him a little bit of a problem. It'll be interesting to watch him against this team. This is the fourth time he's facing him. He hasn't faced any other team four times in his big league career. I think the key for Jones is getting the secondary stuff to go. If the slider's working, if the curveball's going, if he can change speeds, he's a much better pitcher. But, you know, if it's only his fastball, eventually guys are going to time that. Or in other cases, if his fastball's not working and it's only his slider, eventually guys are going to get a hold of that pitch too. He's got to be able to throw his top two pitches consistently. And I think as far to answer the back end of your question or the second part of it, I think he's going to get a little bit more length or a longer leash, I should say, than other guys in this rotation, simply because of the shutdown, or not shutdown, but the injury keeping him on the shelf for, over a month. This guy doesn't have as much of a wear and tear issue as others. And I think they want to see him put together a full body of work. And that means letting him go deep into ball games if the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, a 5.63 ERA in his three starts against the Cubs, obviously all coming this season with Jones being a rookie. Jameson Taillon, the old friend on the other side, Noah, a 3.85 ERA for the Cubs, who are trying to make a late season playoff push. The 32-year-old is 9-8 on the year. However, he has struggled against the Buccos in his career. In his last five starts against Pittsburgh, an ERA around 6. In the last time out, the Pirates, now, he did pitch into the seventh inning, but he did give up four earned. That was the game where the Cubs just almost scored 20 runs, so not a lot of pressure was on Taillon in that game. But the last four starts for Taillon, and five out of the last six starts for Taillon, he has allowed four runs or more against the Pirates, the Tigers, the Guardians, the White Sox, just one run allowed against the Cardinals, and then six runs allowed against the Reds. So you can't say he's been super sharp in his last handful of games.
No, but I mean, one thing Taillon does have going for him is his kryptonite, Jack Sawinski, will not be in the lineup tonight. Go ahead and look up Jack Sawinski's numbers against Taillon. They're unbelievable, but obviously, he's playing a game in Indianapolis right now, so he won't be here. But, I mean, yeah, familiarity, I think it's more an advantage to the hitter than it is the pitcher. And, I mean, there's a lot of guys in this lineup who have seen Taillon, you know, not just a couple times this year, but numerous times throughout their career. I feel like Ryan Reynolds hits this guy pretty well. And there are a couple of other guys who I think put together consistently good at-bats against him. And having just seen him last week, they should have a good idea of what they're going to look to try to do against them when they're at the bat. So, I mean, it's a good opportunity for the Pirates to snap a win streak. I mean, the Cubs are one of, if not the hottest teams in baseball. They've won six straight heading into today. So, Pirates are going to have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, I mean, the Cubs have basically been the polar opposite of the Pirates as of late. The Pirates 4-6 in their last 10. The Cubs are 9-1. Cubs are 14-6 in their last 20, and 20-10 in their last 30. The Pirates in those games, 7-13 in their last 20, 9-21 in their last 30 games. What have some of the people that cover the Cubbies been saying has been the real key to their turnaround, a team that now all of a sudden very alive in the NL wildcard race?
I think it's more just this is this is what you build a team to do. You don't build a team to, you know, just get you to the All-Star break or get you to the trade deadline and then prey on a couple of additions taking you to the next level. You build a team that can take you through 162. And when you're hovering a few games beneath 500 in July, if you're part of an organization that's used to playing meaningful baseball all the way through the season, you don't panic. You just, you know, stick to the course. And they've got guys, they invested in guys in the offseason who have been able to put together some solid years at the plate, and they're really turning it on now. It seems like everything with this team's kind of clicking right now.
How do you feel about the big change defensively with O'Neill Cruz? I mean, I don't think we've talked since that change happened, but just on the defensive side of things, how do you feel he has handled it so far?
I think he's looked good so far. I'm sure there's going to come a point in this final month of the season where he makes a very, very ugly mistake, because that's what happens when you change positions mid-season, especially when you haven't played the position that you're moving to. But, I mean, so far, so good. We've seen him, you know, make clean route or go off to clean routes to balls in the air. He's hit the right cutoff, man. He's thrown it to the right base. We saw him flash that arm briefly in his first game in center field last week. So, I mean, it's a very small sample size, but he really hasn't made any notable blunders that I've noticed in the few games that we've seen him out there.
The thing I like a lot about it, Noah, is that I'm sure people had the fear that with all of that happening on the other side of the baseball, that Cruz would go into a slump at the plate or he would find himself struggling. I mean, he has been great in the back half of this season. I mean, the average all the way up, and I know that's kind of an old school number to look at, but that's up around 275. His OPS plus is 120, which, just for reference, people, only 3 points behind Brian Reynolds, and think about how good of a year Reynolds has had. I mean, he's going to be a 2020 player. Like, his demeanor at the plate has basically just gotten better. He hasn't been all caught up with what has happened defensively, which is something I love to see.
Yeah, I mean, last month in August, he tied with Aaron Judge for the highest batting average in baseball. Both of them hit .389. And anytime you're tied with Aaron Judge in any offensive category, you're doing well. So I think the biggest development with Cruz this second half has been his ability to hit left-handers. I mean, he's not just getting by anymore. He's actually hitting them very well. He's been very productive from that side of the plate, and that used to be his kryptonite. You know, throw him breaking balls and get a lefty in there to face him, but that's no longer an answer you can go to against Cruz. So as this guy continues to develop as a hitter, he's going to be a plus player wherever you have him in the field. And center field, if he can figure that out and just be an average defender with the way he's shaping up as a hitter, I mean, the Pirates might have the player that they advertised us to have a couple of years ago.
Do you think offensively he could ever be in the same stratosphere as somebody like Judge? I know that's hard to say because Judge is doing some historic things, but do you think Cruz can at least get into that galaxy?
I mean, Judge and Ohtani are really just in a world of their own, but I think he could be in the tier beneath them. And I think that's not taking anything away from him. It's just, you know, I don't think he can be a top two hitter in the world is what I'm trying to say. But I think he could be top 15 if all goes well. I mean, the way he's, you know, grown this year in his first true full big league season has been impressive to me, especially at the plate. And granted, you're still going to see some games where it doesn't all look good. You know, he's gonna have some games where he goes over four and swings and misses a lot, or hits into some double plays, or, you know, makes some mistakes. But this guy is, I don't know if you could point toward another player who took more steps forward this year than O'Neill Cruz, and most of them have come offensively, and that's what they need. This team needs hitters. They need a presence at the plate, especially one that can produce power, and that's what this guy's becoming.
Noah Hyles, Pirates reporter from the Post-Gazette. Noah, thanks for taking the time, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Donnie.
There we go. Follow along with Noah. Great stuff at the Post-Gazette. He and Andrew Destin, Alex Stumpf as well. Those guys do a great job covering the Buccos. A 7:40 first pitch tonight in Chicago. The North Shore Tavern leadoff show at 6:45 with Dan Zangrilli. PM team overtime coming up in just a little bit. But up next, the hodgepodge of nothingness. What else did Sean and I want to talk about today? We'll get into that coming up next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Visit Sun Chevy on Washington Road in McMurray or sunchevy.com. Sunny, a beautiful Labor Day for you. High of 73. Pony?
Hey, it's Andrew Filippone for the Circa Resort and Casino. You can feel it in the air on this Labor Day. Football is back. First game is Thursday. Our team's first game is Sunday. Have you made plans yet for your big road trip of the year? Where are you headed? If you've picked Vegas for the game of the year, you need to meet me at the Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Vegas, Old Vegas. We are going to have the time of our lives. I can promise you that at the Circa in October. Friday before the game, we're giving away tickets. Yeah, this is such a tough ticket to get. Oh, so hard. So many people begging for a better price on tickets. How about free overhang bar tailgate party at the Circa overlooking everything? We will be there for that Saturday. Meet me at the stadium swim outside at Circa, a bucket list thing to do for every sports fan. The 150-foot TV, the 6 swimming pools. It is such a blast. Join me at the Circa, CircaLasVegas.com.
Fifty-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Hodgepodge time.
Does that mean I hit the music now?
Yes.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
There we go.
The Steelers, according to Tom Pelissero, they are bringing in Jamal Agnew for a workout. Now, this guy very good in the return game, but transitioning from defensive back to a receiver in his last couple of seasons. What has he done as a receiver? Well, I guess we'll just look at the last couple of years since he did make that transition. 77 receptions, 746 yards, 5 touchdowns. Not in one season, but since 2020. So, not exactly a needle mover there, but the Steelers bringing him in for a workout. That, according to Tom Pelissero, NFL Network. Sean,
this
you're
is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
A crazy story over the weekend. The 49ers have been in the news quite a bit, obviously Brandon Ayuk, but it was another receiver who got the headlines, Ricky Pearsall, in what was initially really just a terrifying scenario. He was shot in the chest, point blank, after he tried to fend off, I suppose, a robbery attempt. And this occurred in San Francisco, out in the open. I guess he was wearing a nice watch, and a 17-year-old tried to take it off of him. They scuffled. Pearsall was shot in the chest. I believe the potential culprit also was shot in this exchange. He's now out of the hospital, and although he will be missing the first 4 games of the season, and potentially more depending on that, it's a minor miracle that we're already talking about him playing football, because a person was shot point blank in the chest. You think the worst. And certainly when initially came out, he was in critical condition. It did seem like the worst, but he avoided what could have been catastrophe. And so the good news is we'll be able to talk this year about him as a football player, as opposed to what could have been much, much worse.
Yeah, that story was nuts. I don't want to say things like didn't add up, but we were talking about that earlier off air of like how lucky he had to be for those elements to take place and him mostly be fine.
It's, yeah, I don't know how stuff like that happens, but I'm glad that it did happen. And again, it really seems, first off, he's got to have like big time credibility now, because he survived a shooting while fending off a person who was trying to rob him.
Yeah.
And I believe, again, the alleged culprit in the tussle also was shot and then was subsequently arrested. So he's going to be a hero if he's able to contribute anything at all as a football player.
Yeah, that is nuts. I have one more for us, Sean.
This is a hodgepodge of nothingness.
So this guy, the greatest of all time in his field, in his sport, if you want to call it that, he did not compete on the 4th of July when he is normally the man taking over that domain. I am talking about Joey Chestnut, who competed one-on-one today with Kobayashi, a Labor Day special on Netflix. 10 minutes. Chestnut shattered his own record. This man consumed 83 hot dogs in 10 minutes. He blew Kobayashi out of the water. I mean, Kobayashi, not like he didn't have a respectable score. I think he finished with like 67 or 68. 83 hot dogs in 10 minutes. That's over 8 per minute, Sean.
Were they like the 2.5-pound hot dogs that we had to eat on the 4th of July?
I'm gonna guess no. I do wonder how many of those he would eat. I mean, I'm still certain he would eat like a ton.
Probably cut that number in half, though, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's just a typical pony move on that.
Sandbagging us. Yeah, it was bad.
Making everybody look terrible. Like, oh, how'd this guy only eat 6 hot dogs? Not to mention they were like three-quarter-pound hot dogs. They were massive.
I mean, Dom did make himself look terrible, but yeah, the hot dogs kind of screwed everyone else.
Yeah, 83 hot dogs for Chestnut going in. Remarkable. And it looks like these guys ate them full. Like, they were allowed to dip, I think, but, like, they didn't break them up. It wasn't, like, meat and then bun. The way it looks like he's eating these is, like, they are in the bun and he's just going at it.
Have you done any training in preparation for next year yet?
No, I have not. I have not.
Callis, I think, has been working hard to top his performance.
Well,
this
I mean,
year.
Now he's the one that needed to. He was the very...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.